Cascadia culture a little bit libertarian? Would that be? And what are some other qualities that you would ascribe to that?
Well, I don't, there's some place where the libertarians and the anarchists meet, but then they part company around money, I think. And probably neither is realistic about how to deal with it. But I think the anarchists have the best shot at it because they work, they're sworn to collectivity and no bosses. I mean, and again, they're working toward an economy that fits ecology, that fits place, and that fits people. And people with money tend to be insulated from those facts. I mean, I noticed that when I was a kid. I mean, people with money just seem clueless. I mean, and you can see why they need it, because they'd be helpless without it. You know? Imagine a Rockefeller without money. You know, he'd just be another schmo on the street. And people would beat him up.
The Occupy movement, I'm reminded when you start talking about anarchists of how the Occupy movement sort of governed itself. And I look at the Occupy, and I read something in, it was a short editorial in the Washington Post that said, they won. You know, people said they need to have an agenda, they need to have goals, this and that. And all of a sudden we're talking about Bernie Sanders leading Hillary Clinton in the polls in New Hampshire and having what's described as a very radical program that also happens to have a majority of Americans in favor of the things he's espousing.
Yeah, no, I think Occupy did win in the sense that it's still going on. And it was going on before Occupy. It just, there was this opening, a big crack in the dominant economy, and people moved into that space. I mean, it was brilliant the way they did it. I mean, the people in the Zuccotti Park, great artists, you know, great situationists. You know, they saw that here's a great demonstration of what's wrong with things. And look, folks, it ain't working, you know. And let's talk about some other things. You know. What the Occupy movement didn't win in terms of, we have so little experience with anarchism, with practical anarchism. I don't know what other people's experience was, but I'm sure this happened in many places. You could see one person going, crossing his arms in front of his chest and blocking consensus. And some really good ideas died because of that. But it's just because people don't understand that their personal opinion doesn't necessarily matter that strongly if in terms of what's good for the group. But, you know, there are, I mean, that's the diehard individualism that still infects our thinking and our decision making. It's okay. I grew up under individualism, and I love great characters who won't give in no matter what. Like, I always think of Harry Truman, who went down with the lake, with Spirit Lake on Mount St. Helens. Yeah. Go, Harry Truman, go. You know? Yeah. But
that individual
wouldn't want to be in a meeting with Harry. You know?
Problem, not in a bureaucratic, not on the sewer board.
Yeah, no,
you probably had a few guys like him on the sewer board.
We still do. Yeah. I can't believe it. It's all the same people.
Yeah. When you mention individualism and you talk about it, you know, obviously as a pejorative, I mean, it ultimately comes to this notion that somehow we're disconnected from everything else. And that gives us, you know, the right to pollute and thinking that no one lives downstream. And ultimately, it's toxic for our own health if we believe that.
Yeah, well, it's partly because we're all immigrants here. I see it in the history of my own family, how much collectivity and tradition and connection to place is lost over, you know, an amazingly fast time.
I'm reminded of this cartoon that went on Facebook, and it said, America, my immigrants didn't travel here 4,000 miles to get here just to see the place overrun by immigrants.
Right. Yeah, I know. I've always said the people who want to close California's border, I say, yeah, we should have closed the eastern border like 100 years ago.
Right.
Then the Okies couldn't have gotten in. I love the Okies.
Yeah.
I grew up with them, and they're good people.
Yeah, but do you think there's a higher degree of recognition of interdependence in Cascadia than there are in other bioregions on this continent?
I hope so. I think that's been part of the lesson that, I mean, the hippie communes were, you know, like most, like one brilliant failure after another. But, I mean, they were, and there were many other kinds of models of collectives and cooperatives, the tree planting collectives. I mean, they were set great examples. So there has been learning, I think. We have seen a lot of these things go. And I keep quoting Paul Goodman, the great sociologist and dramatist. He said, these things are supposed to fail. We're demonstrating what's possible. It all looks chaotic and crazy at first, and now we find out that even chaos is orderly and has its. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get it. My older son, who went to that free school, ended up studying chaos at Santa Cruz, and now he's in charge of air quality in San Francisco because he likes to study chaotic systems and finds great order there. I think, wow, what a brilliant thing, you know. And then he's able to put it to use and to put up with the kind of bureaucracy that he has to work with in order to make some of these things effective.
These little experiments that have happened in the last, you know, the last 45 years is a great time frame of sort of the height of what it might have been called the 70s, which didn't probably end until 1974, yeah. Right? But did all these kinds of experiments prepare us for ultimately the crash of capitalism? Or is that just me being optimistic?
I hope so. I mean, we've predicted this many times.
That's what people say, yes. That's what people say. You know, the sharing economy, they say, yes, that's sharing economy, Jeremy Rifkin, Airbnb, that all sounds nice, but Airbnb is also a corporation. So.
Right, yeah. How would you like to share your life for a few bucks? Right. Yeah, there's an awful lot of bullshit in the, you know, in the new age movements and the new thinking, but there's even more bullshit in the old thinking, so I mean, what can we expect?
I understand. I told Carolyn Mace that the new age is about taking the I Ching and making it go cha-ching.
Cha-ching, yeah, really, that's good.